looking out the window of this big, big ship, and it's really coming down outside. And something in her eyes is like the morning mist as it lifts to show the world's still alive.
Chapter 2. Uncle crosses the distance between them, stepping over his dropped papers as though they couldn't matter less, and before Zuko can even force a breath into his lungs, Uncle has wrapped him in a tight hug. "Uncle?" he asks, choked, and Uncle just holds tighter. "I've missed you so much, my nephew," Uncle says, and Zuko lets out a noise somewhere between a laugh and a sob. He'd left Uncle's house as a naive 18-year-old, desperate enough to believe his father's lies of reconciliation and regret, even over Uncle's warnings that his younger brother did not possess a morsel of guilt in his body. He remembers harsh words to the only person who had ever loved him unconditionally, a slammed door, a stiff hug at the airport. Leave it to Uncle to hold absolutely none of that against him. Uncle lets go, and when he puts a soft hand on Zuko's cheek, his eyes are shiny. "Oh, my nephew," he says, rough. Zuko has to look down, can't handle the enormity of his gaze. "What are you doing in Ba Sing Se?" The complexity of the answer to that question is what reminds him, finally, that a small hand is still clasped around the bottom of his jacket. Ki has a confused expression on her face, her little brows furrowed. Zuko takes her hand and squeezes. Once, twice, three times. To comfort himself or Ki, he doesn't know. Uncle, ever perceptive, seems to realize that a child is attached to him, and shakes himself. "And who is this lovely young lady?" he asks, plucking the hot chocolate out of Sokka's shell-shocked hands and crouching down to hand it to her. "Ki," Zuko manages to find his voice. My sister." Uncle's eyes grow wide. "You found your mother?" Zuko shakes his head as Ki's hands tighten in his. "Car crash," he says, quietly. "Ki lives with me now." A brief expression of something deep and painful passes over Uncle's face and is gone just as quick. "I'm so sorry we are only just meeting, Ki. I'm your Uncle Iroh." "Oh," Ki says. "Oh, Zuko talks about you." "He does?" Uncle asks, eyebrows raised, a small smile on his face, and Ki nods enthusiastically. "Yeah. Mostly when he's making tea and thinks he's doing it wrong." Uncle chuckles and stands back up, wiping his face with his sleeve. "I cannot tell you how overjoyed I am to see you. Please, please, come upstairs to my apartment. I'll make us an early dinner. I want to hear everything you've been up to." "But what about the cafe?" Zuko doesn't even know why he's protesting. He's thought so many times about the quiet, riotous years he spent with Uncle, filled with both misplaced anger and absolute peace. He's wanted so many times to have Uncle by his side when he's navigating key school events, drowning in decisions at Azula's appointments. To be able to fall asleep on his couch in the afternoon one more time, and be woken by the smells of dinner being made. "Sokka can watch it," Uncle says firmly, and Sokka seems to shake himself. "This is the nephew?" Sokka demands. "He is," Uncle says. "He's been coming here for like a week, Iroh," Sokka throws his hands up. "I could have witnessed this reunion a week ago." Uncle's mouth twitches. "Fate has a funny way of bringing people together when they need it most," he says, and Zuko can't stop the snort that escapes his mouth. Uncle and his proverbs. Uncle beckons him toward the back door, and Zuko picks Ki up, settling her on his hip as she follows him up a narrow flight of stairs, still not quite sure this isn't all a particularly vicious daydream that he's about to wake up from. His nephew has changed. That is the first and almost only thought Iroh has, other than the steady, urgent stream of questions about Zuko's life and well-being, his little sister that's clearly deeply attached to him, his mother, his living situation. Zuko has always been jumpy, a little bit too poised to run. Iroh will not scare him off. He looks older. Of course, he should. It's been nearly 3 years since he last saw him. His hair is longer, pulled back in a traditional top knot, pieces still hanging down in front of his more defined jaw. He's taller. A large tattoo peeks out from underneath his shirt collar. But it's his demeanor, really, that scares and makes Iroh proud in both equal proportions. Because his nephew is exhausted in a way Iroh hasn't seen in much longer than 3 years. The weariness, it seems to pervade down to his bones in a way that is awfully wrong for a 21-year-old. But it doesn't stop him from interacting with his younger sister as lovingly and energetically as though he's known Ki her entire life, instead of just 6 months. Iroh has finished doing the dishes from dinner, after steadfastly refusing Zuko's help in cleaning, and leans against the doorway into the living room. Zuko is sitting on the couch, staring off into the distance. Ki is curled up asleep in his lap, and he's absent-mindedly brushing through her hair with his fingers. "You have guardianship?" Iroh asks quietly, so as not to wake the child. Zuko still flinches, and Iroh takes a breath. That has not changed, no matter how much time has passed. But Zuko recovers, and nods as Iroh sits down opposite him, and places a tray with mugs and a teapot on the table between them. "I got a call about 6 months ago," Zuko says. Mom had died in a car crash." Zuko's hand stills over his sister's head, like he's trying to protect her. Ki was in the back seat. "Zuko," Iroh says softly. "I am so sorry." Iroh has complicated feelings about his sister-in-law, and navigating them is not made any easier by her untimely demise. But for Zuko's sake, Iroh can make them simple. "It was really tough for a bit." Zuko's eyes have a familiar, faraway look in them. "Wasn't a good time for any of us." "What about Ki's father?" Iroh pushes a mug towards his nephew, hopes the heat and the familiar taste grounds him a little bit. Zuko gives a half shrug. "He was never in her life. When they tracked him down, he refused custody. It was me or the system." "And your father allowed this?" Iroh raises an eyebrow. The idea of Ozai allowing a child of Ursa's not fathered by him into his home is as ludicrous as a concept if he can think of. I left home," Zuko says. "About a year ago. I tried to find you, but I had already moved." "I'm so sorry, my nephew," Iroh says, winces. "Why did you come to Ba Sing Se, then, if you didn't know I was here?" Zuko's face falls. "Azula," he says, quiet. "She was admitted last year. I moved to be closer to her." "Admitted?" "Dad moved her out of the country." Zuko's voice hardens. "Didn't want her problems to bring dishonor on the family." "Is she still in treatment?" Iroh asks. Zuko nods. "She has good and bad days," he says, quietly. Ki stirs in his lap, and he rests his hand on her shoulder. "It's been hard." Iroh can't stop himself from circumventing the table, taking his nephew's head in both hands and kissing his forehead. "You have taken on so much for someone so young, my nephew," Iroh says, and Zuko makes a choked noise in the back of his throat. "I cannot tell you how happy I am to have found you, no matter how coincidental it was. I am here for whatever you need, whenever you need it." "Thank you, uncle," Zuko says, and Iroh holds his forehead to his nephew's for a moment. "Really, I really missed you." "I missed you too, Zuko," Iroh says, softly. "Zuko, wake up!" Well, those two little hands aren't soft. One pinches his cheek, and Zuko blindly swats up until he hits something solid. "Ouch!" Ki says indignantly. Zuko reaches up and pulls the pillow over his head. "5 more minutes, Ki." The pillow gets pulled off of his head. "No!" Ki says, far too loudly for whatever it is AM o'clock. "Uncle Iroh said to come get breakfast before school, and we're not going to have time if you don't get up!" Well, that wakes him up. Zuko blinks blearily and finds his sister sitting on his chest, arms crossed, expression determined. "Are you awake now?" she demands. "Absolutely not," Zuko says, and in one fluid moment throws Ki off of him and into a pile of pillows on the other side of the futon. "Ah, now that the parasite's off of me, I feel so much better." "I am not a parasite!" "Parasites can't talk." "Zuko!" Only Sokka is at the counter when Ki skips up. "Good morning," she chirps, and Sokka turns around, giving her a bright, wide smile. Despite the near-freezing temperatures outside, Zuko feels warmer than he has in days. "The prodigal kid returns," Sokka said. "The usual?" "The usual," Kii says solemnly. "You got it, dude," Sokka says, then flashes Zuko a grin. "I'm under strict orders not to allow you your heart attack concoction." "I'm sorry," Zuko raises an eyebrow. "Who?" "My own nephew, a coffee drinker." Uncle appears in the doorway, one hand draped over his eyes. "How could a member of my own family betray me so?" "Zuko's not allowed to drink coffee?" Kii asks, wide-eyed. Sokka hands her a hot chocolate and waves off Zuko's credit card. "We are tea drinkers, Kii," Uncle says, offering her his hand. Kii takes it happily. "I don't know what your brother's been teaching you, but it's not right." "Dramatic," Zuko says, and Sokka snorts. "You're telling me," Sokka says. "Some days I think I work in a theater instead of a tea shop." "Don't tell stories, Sokka," Ira warns. "I'll fire you like that." He snaps his fingers, and Sokka looks deeply unimpressed. "You can try it," he shrugs. "Don't think it'll stick. I have tenure, old man." Ira chuckles and gestures at Zuko. "Come, come, I made breakfast. Your favorite, Zuko." Ira leads them upstairs, and for once, Zuko gets to sit in one place and have a breakfast he didn't cook, and just not worry. It is terrifyingly easy to fall into a routine. Zuko takes Kii to the cafe before school to have breakfast with Uncle, and a couple of nights a week they have dinner there as well. Zuko knows, he knows, that Uncle is not his father or his mother, that he won't abandon them, that the only reason they lost touch in the first place was because of Zuko messing up yet again, but it doesn't stop him from being cautious. Zuko doesn't think Kii can take losing someone else she loves. Zuko won't admit it, but he doesn't think that he can either. When his alarm goes off on a Friday morning, and there's not a Kii-sized lump wedged into his side, something trips a dull alarm bell on the back of his brain. Zuko rolls off the futon and trudges down the hallway, yawning. "Kii," he knocks lightly at her door, opening it. The covers are pulled over her head, her lights still out. That's a little odd, since Kii is usually up before him, but Zuko shakes it off. It's the middle of the winter. Who wants to be up before the sun? "Kii, time for school." Zuko shakes her shoulder lightly. No response but a groan. "Come on, Sunshine. Uncle Ira promised to make pancakes this morning for you, remember?" "Don't feel good," Kii moans, muffled, and Zuko's heart jumps. He immediately strips back her blankets. She's curled into a tight ball, her hair matted to her forehead with sweat, her face flushed. "Baby, what's wrong?" Zuko pushes back her hair. Her forehead is burning to the touch. "My tummy hurts," Kii whimpers. Her eyes go wide, and she claps a hand over her mouth, sitting straight up. "Zuko..." "Oh, fuck." Kii sits straight up, throws up over the side of the bed, and immediately bursts into noisy tears. Iroh's phone rings as he's finished setting up the table for breakfast, humming to himself. "Good morning, nephew," Iroh says, cheerfully. "Uncle," Zuko sounds ragged and panicked, and Iroh can hear crying in the background. "Zuko?" He puts down the plate in his hand. "Zuko, what's going on?" "Kii's sick," Zuko says. "She won't stop throwing up and she's got a fever and I don't know what to do. She's been crying for almost an hour. I... "Okay, okay, breathe," Iroh soothes. "I'm coming over right now." "Uncle, she's really sick. What do I..." "Zuko, it's all going to be okay. I'll be over as soon as I can." Iroh turns the key Zuko gave to him last week in the lock and opens the door, shutting it quietly. The dark apartment is silent instead of the chaos Iroh was expecting, and he's almost more concerned than it is. "Hello?" he calls. "In here," Zuko's raspy voice comes from the end of the small hallway. Iroh finds them in the bathroom. Kii is asleep, and Zuko's hunched against the shower door, looking nearly as miserable as the obviously sick girl in his lap. The air smells of vomit, and there's a wet rag sitting next to Zuko. "She just fell asleep a few minutes ago," Zuko whispers. I'm sorry for bothering you. I just didn't know what to do. She's so sick." "Zuko," Iroh cuts him off, crouching down. "Do not apologize to me again. Of course I came to help you. You're not a bother." That, of all things, causes his nephew, who went 3 weeks in a burn unit without crying, to tear up. Zuko ducks his head, one hand pushing into his eyes. "Sorry, sorry," he gasps, and then cringes. I haven't had any help since I got Ki." "Oh, nephew." Iroh crouches down, pushing his long hair out of his face. "I'm so sorry I haven't been there for you, but I'm here now, and I'll not leave you." "It's been so hard," Zuko whispers. "I know, I know." Zuko tapes a deep, shuddering breath and pulls Ki closer. "She hasn't been sick with me before. I was freaked out." "It's always scary when someone we love is suffering," Iroh says. "I'm here to help. Come, give me Ki. I'll put her on the futon so you can shower and get dressed." Zuko carefully maneuvers the sleeping girl into Iroh's arms. Iroh carries her into the living room while Zuko turns on the shower. Ki blessedly doesn't wake when Iroh sets her down, nor when he checks her temperature. She's certainly feverish, but not nearly high enough to cause concern. It really just seems to be a stomach bug. Iroh tucks her in, turns on a movie for some background noise, and sets about brewing ginger tea for his niece. He even deigns to turn on the coffee machine for his traitor nephew, keeping as quiet as he can. There are stacks of bills, mostly unpaid, lying on the counter, along with notes written in Zuko's careful, small handwriting. Most seem to be from Azula's hospital, though some seem older and others more urgent. Iroh is about to pick up what seems to be Zuko's plan to not get evicted this month when he emerges from the shower in fresh sweatpants and one of his old high school t-shirts, hair wet and face flushed, but looking somewhat more put together. Iroh hands him a cup of coffee. "Work?" Iroh asks, when Zuko settles down at the table next to him instead of going to get dressed. Zuko shakes his head, glancing over at Ki-Yi, who is still fast asleep with a trash can set next to her. I called out," Zuko says. "I just don't want to leave her." His eyes are determined when he tilts his head up, as though he expects Iroh to challenge him. As if Iroh could possibly disagree with him on this. He'd taken a leap of absence when Zuko showed up on his doorstep with a barely healed burn marring a third of his face, feverish and hurt and so, so angry. He'd spent nearly 3 weeks in the hospital at his side, and even longer working from home until Zuko felt ready to try and go to school. He hadn't had the chance to do it for Lu Ten. He wasn't going to give up the chance to do it for Zuko. Or now, for Ki-Yi. That his nephew grew up with a monster for a father and an absentee for a mother, and still learned to love so fiercely, so deeply, makes Iroh's chest burn. "Of course, Zuko," Iroh says. "I would do the same." Zuko slumps down, resting his head on his arm and staring at the back of the futon. "I was so worried when she didn't wake me up this morning." "Does she usually wake you up?" Zuko lifts one shoulder in a half-shrug. "Most nights." He glances at Iroh. "She gets nightmares." "And you?" Iroh asks. "Do you still get nightmares?" Zuko is quiet for a minute. "Sometimes," he says. Iroh knows what sometimes means to his nephew, how it doesn't quite mean to him what it means to other people. And if the bags under his eyes are anything to go by, he's not sleeping well the rest of the time either. "Do you continue with therapy, nephew?" Iroh asks, though he already knows the answer. "Can't afford it," Zuko says, bluntly. "Ki's growing so quick, she always needs new clothes, and Azula..." Zuko cuts off. "Azula needs it more than me." The bills in the kitchen had denoted Zuko as Azula's power of attorney, as well as the primary contact for her costs. Iroh thinks of the multiple estates his younger brother owns, the assets held in offshore accounts, the zeros upon zeros upon zeros that finish out his bank statements, and for the thousandth time in a week, feels a rage grow white-hot in his chest. "While I am incredibly grateful that Azula is getting help," Iroh says firmly, "there is no needs more, my nephew. You both have been through a great deal of trauma, and you both deserve to get the help you need." "That's all well and good, Uncle, but I can't afford it," Zuko says tightly, his hands gripping the mug, his voice rising steadily. "I'm happy you're here now, but I've been on my own for a year, and when it's not Ki having meltdowns in class, it's Azula attacking a nurse and getting placed in isolation, or my rent is late, or I can't afford new shoes for Ki, or my mom dying after she left me with the asshole who held my face down in a fireplace, or... Zuko breaks off very suddenly, when there's a startled gasp from the futon, and Kii says in a high, scared voice, "Zuko?" Zuko darts across the room before Iroh can even get up from his chair, and gathers Kii in his arms. I heard yelling, Kii's lip wobbles. "Oh, baby," Zuko whispers, and all the anger seems to have melted out of his shoulders. "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to wake you." "I don't feel good," Kii whimpers into his chest, burying her head. "Scared me." Zuko bites his lip and looks down, his shoulders hunching up to his head, and Iroh's reached his breaking point. He really is. "Miss Kii," he bustles over, children's Motrin in hand, a plate of crackers in the other. "I heard you weren't feeling well." "No." Kii's eyes match her brother's, Iroh notices. In gold, and in wide, scared pain. "My tummy." "Well, luckily, I have a solution to fix all that." Iroh holds up the Motrin and gestures to the TV. "How about some medicine and a movie?" Zuko doesn't let go of his sister, not even when she throws up her medicine half an hour later, not when she finally settles back down, dead asleep in his arms. He stares at the TV screen blankly, only looking up when Iroh sets a sandwich and a glass of water down in front of him. "I'm sorry for yelling," Zuko says quietly. "You've already done too much. I was so ungrateful." "You were frustrated," Iroh starts placatingly. "No," Zuko cuts in. "No, you don't deserve to be on the receiving end of my anger again. This is my stuff, and you don't need to get dragged in." Well, Iroh's reached his breaking point. "Zuko," Iroh scrubs at his face. "Zuko, my nephew, listen to me. The man you're becoming, the man you've become, I am immeasurably proud. You're kind, and so selfless, and the love you have for your sisters... Zuko, I have never been so proud in my life. But as much as you've grown, you're still only 21, nephew. The burden you're carrying would be too much for someone twice your age, and with half of the sadness you've carried along with it. Zuko," he tilts his nephew's chin up, "let me share the load." "But..." Zuko breaks, and tightens his hold on Kii, who sleeps on oblivious. "But you're happy. You have your shop, and those kids who come by... And all I've ever done is be an ungrateful burden and drag you down." "You have never been a burden," Iroh says firmly. "Never, not once in your life, no matter what others may have told you. You've been a pain, sure," he adds, when Zuko makes a disbelieving noise. "But a burden? Drag me down? Zuko, never. Please, nephew, it would be my honor if you would let me help." Zuko stares at him, eyes wide. Bags underneath larger, and he nods imperceptibly. "Okay," he whispers. Iroh feels a rush of relief and lets out a breath. He kneels and presses a kiss to Zuko's forehead, frowning when Zuko's skin is hot and clammy to the touch. Zuko, is your stomach... In one swift motion, Zuko places Kii down, then leans over the side of the bed and vomits into the well-placed trash can. He emerges after a minute, face flushed, and rests his head on the edge of the trash can. Iroh chuckles and wipes off his nephew's sweaty forehead. "Well, that answers my question." "Uncle," Zuko groans. "Go to sleep, Zuko," Iroh advises softly. "I'm right here." His niece and nephew sleep through most of the afternoon. Iroh sets about making a simple soup for dinner and going through Zuko's bills, and even manages to find Zuko's apartment contract, sorting everything into more manageable piles. There's a notepad amongst the mess, where Zuko scribbled down the names of some online universities, and it takes Iroh a minute to decipher it. Zuko's also written down credits that he's apparently already taken. Iroh stares at it, and then glances over the living room, where Zuko's long hair has fallen out of its bun, half covering his face. His arms are loosely wrapped around Kii, who seems half awake, but hasn't made a move to get up. Zuko was in college. Zuko wants to go back to college. Iroh thinks of the 15-year-old in a burn unit, curled up small on his bed, who had no plans or aspirations other than to survive the next hour, and a swell of emotion makes Iroh's throat close up. Iroh will do whatever it takes to make sure Zuko is able to do anything he wants. The stomach bug passes within 24 terrible, feverish hours, and Kiyi returns to school and Zuko to work, and their routine continues. Uncle calls him one morning and tells him in no uncertain terms that he's picking up Kiyi from school, and that Zuko should take the afternoon to himself and come over later for dinner. For the first few hours, Zuko just doesn't know what to do with himself. He cleans the apartment, even straightens out Kiyi's room, though she should really do it herself, does the laundry, and tries, again, to redo his budget. And when that's done, he cleans again, even scrubbing the bathroom and the kitchen spotless. After he's exhausted all of his options, Zuko glances down at his watch. It's only 5, and Uncle will yell at him if he shows up before 7:30. So he does something he hasn't done in a long time. He watches a non-kid-friendly TV show, and he takes a nap. Zuko! A small pink blur barrels into him and wraps its arms around his waist. Zuko grins and hoists her up. Hi, sunshine. Did you have a good afternoon with Uncle Iroh? Zuko asks. Kiyi nods vigorously. We went to the store after school, and then I got to help out Sokka in the cafe, and Mr. Aang came in. He's friends with Sokka, so I made cookies with him, and then we came up here, and... Kiyi keeps chattering as Zuko moves into the apartment and takes in the uncharacteristic disarray around him. There are several boxes and picture frames leaning against the wall, a couple labeled Luten, a couple more labeled Zuko. Uncle? Zuko questions. What are you doing? Uncle shrugs. I told you, I have 2 extra bedrooms and a study. Yes? Zuko raises his eyebrows. Well, I don't think Azula will take too kindly to sleeping in a study once she is discharged, and I thought you might like your own bedroom instead of sleeping on a futon in the living room. Zuko stares at him. Uncle just keeps chopping vegetables, nonchalantly humming, as though he hasn't dropped a bomb and walked away. What? Zuko splutters and puts down Kiyi, who starts squirming in his arms, and walks over to the kitchen. What? Zuko, Uncle says, dumping the vegetables into the wok on the stove. Would you and Kiyi like to move in? Would they like to... Zuko can't think of anything he'd like more. He slumps down into his uncle, who chuckles and puts down the knife, moving so that his arms are around Zuko's shoulders. Yes, he mumbles into Uncle's shirt as Uncle strokes his hair, and he can't even find it in himself to be embarrassed when his eyes turn wet. Yes, please. Six months later. The warm, evening summer breeze pushes in Iroh's curtains as he makes dinner in the kitchen, the radio playing softly on the counter. We're doing Rainbow Road, Azula says, resolutely in the living room. Azula, Kiyi groans, rolling in her sister's lap. Azula makes a disgusted noise and makes a valiant show of trying to get Kiyi off of her, holding the controller over her head. Kiyi just giggles and holds on tighter, and Azula rolls her eyes and lets her stay. That's too hard! Pick another race! No, Azula says. You should learn early that life is hard. We're doing Rainbow Road, and you're gonna like it. Will you two quiet down? The door to Zuko's bedroom flies open. He stands in the doorway, laptop in one hand, the other pinching the bridge of his nose. I'm trying to take my math quiz. Why are you wasting your time on that? I'll just do it for you, and I'll get a better grade. Azula holds out an expectant hand, but Zuko scowls and pulls his laptop away. No! I'm taking it myself. Can you just be quiet for, 15 minutes, and then you can be as loud as you want? Azula's trying to make me do Rainbow Road, Kiyi interrupts indignantly, climbing up on the couch to reach her siblings' heights and get their attention. Zuko, make her change it! Zuko turns his gaze over to Azula, who shrugs nonchalantly, examining her nails. She needs to learn life lessons, she says by way of explanation. She's 6, Zuko raises an eyebrow. Do something easier. Azula sighs, but switches the race while Kiyi cheers. Only for you, brother, Azula says. Thank you, O magnanimous one, Zuko says dryly, and Iroh holds in a chuckle when he stalks back into his room and shuts the door with a decisive click. The video game starts up, and his nieces begin shouting at each other, Kiyi standing to get a better view while Azula yells. Zuko appears again after a few minutes and flops down on the couch, watching his sisters play. He pulls out his phone, adjusting only slightly when Kiyi climbs up on the couch to sit on his stomach, and interjects every once in a while to scold Azula when she swears. And Iroh stands in the kitchen and listens to the ruckus they make, and thinks that there isn't a sound sweeter in the entire world.